I'm Michael Angley Live, and we have a whole host of things to talk about tonight. But first, I want to talk about China. Now, it doesn't, well, China and China's link with Hollywood, because probably not a lot of people out there know that Chinese companies, which is basically the Chinese government, is funding a lot of movies in Hollywood to the tune of billions upon billions of dollars that they have invested in these movies. So if you ever wonder why you look at these Hollywood movies and you start feeling ashamed because, you know, you like your free speech and your gun rights and, you know, you like a free life without government intrusion, you like your privacy, all that, these movies have gone extremely what people tend to call politically correct. But really, there's a driving mentality and an agenda well beyond a politically correct type of thing. We're talking about a communist government funding Hollywood movies that are mainly geared towards American people. This is subversive, and this type of subversive behavior has always been around. Now they're being bought into. So if you ever wonder why Hollywood is so liberal and so against Donald Trump and so against our system of democracy and so against the people that they call names they deem as stupid middle America or stupid rural people that are just, what Obama say, white men that cling to their guns and Jesus, all of these things that we have been told why we're bad, and doesn't matter that you're black and you're feeling the same thing, doesn't matter that you're Latino and you're feeling the same thing, or you're Asian and you're feeling the same thing, because I know a lot of everybody, and we're all feeling the same things, and we all want the same things. We all want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We want to be happy in our homes and safe in our homes, and we don't want the government in our face, and we'll pay taxes, but don't throw our money away. Don't be wasteful. But we've been told that we're bad. We've been shamed by Barack Obama for 8 years and made to feel like we're second-class citizens because we want what's guaranteed in the Constitution. Wow. So you put that together with this China intrusion in Hollywood. So now all these Hollywood studios, and we're talking about Steven Spielberg, we're talking about Lucas, we're talking about even Dave Clark, you know, Clark Entertainment, who received over $1 billion. We're talking about these companies making programming for you, for your children, for your people that's geared towards to an angle of a degree that's going to change the way you feel, think, and put a type of a label on your behavior, so to speak, a label on all of us. Look at the Democratic Party. What did they do? Did they say, we're all one party together and we're going to win this? No. They have the blacks. They have Latinos. They have the Asians. They have the gays. You know, they have the women. They have the men. All these different groups that they themselves divide people into. They themselves are the labelers of society, and then they take politically correctness and wield it like a sword to chop people apart who are just trying to live their lives and start dissecting people's lives, even invading our privacy, coming after us. You know, look at the Internet. You ever do a search for something, I'm looking for this product, you know, I'm looking for ABC company, whatever, electrostatic generator, whatever the frick you're looking for. And then all of a sudden, you're on Facebook, or you're on eBay, or you're on Amazon, or you're on any other site, really, even Yahoo, and you start seeing the very thing that you searched pop up into the corner. Because they are tracking what you're looking at. They're tracking what you, and then this, so the Internet companies say, well, you know, there are functions that you can shut off where people can't do that and they can't track your what you're looking for in your searches and then keep throwing it at you constantly, which doesn't even make any sense, by the way, you know, because let's say I purchase something, it's doubtful I'm going to look for exactly the same thing to buy the next day. and they throw their advertising at you. And I got to say, I never bought anything online that was advertised where the advertising was thrown at me. Never. Never. In fact, the best advertising that affected me anyway is in-store advertising that kind of grabs you. Let's say a Super Bowl, and you're walking to a supermarket, and then they got this super sign with a super display to grab your super stupidness and take your super money out of your super wallet, right? That type of stuff. Oh, yeah, I need that. I'm going to grab that. Ooh, I need that. Got to have it. But otherwise, television commercials, mainly television commercials, turn me off completely. And I don't watch TV, really, like The Walking Dead or something like that, which only on for like 4 months out of the year. You know, it's like I can't waste my time. But people that do, and I remember back in the day, I used to watch a lot of TV, you know, commercial. I hate the goddamn commercials. No commercial ever motivated me to buy anything. None. Yeah? So let's get back to China and Hollywood. I think that we need to investigate what's going on in Hollywood with the movies that they make, the movies that they're putting out there, and what that the agenda is. Because look at all these modern movies that are coming out, and it's all about shaming language. It's all about an anger. It's all about a position, you know, putting women above everybody else, putting black people above everybody else. But, you know, when you start taking groups of people and separating them and putting them higher than anybody else, that's genderification. That's racism. That's sexism. You know, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of isms. You can call that, but it's wrong. It's plain old wrong. And Hollywood is doing it, and they're being funded largely by China. So what's the Chinese angle? Why would these companies want to put their hands in? And there is no, well, you know, don't think that there's separate companies in China. It's communist. It's all about China. You get what I'm saying? So if you think about the concept that these people are funding Hollywood movies, and then you have Hollywood people that are so incensed that Donald Trump won, now they're starting to vent, oh, God, I hope this doesn't end our money trail to China since Trump is in there. So now they're crying for themselves about Trump not believing in the one China policy. And keep in mind, we never signed on to that. In fact, it was big liberal Jimmy Carter was the one who got together with Taiwan to begin with. So Taiwan is its own separate country. Taiwan has their own military. They have their own president. And Taiwan has maintained the old ways, not the new ways with communism. They've maintained the old ways. China has 1,600 missiles facing towards Taiwan. 1,600 missiles. China takes people who are political dissidents, what they call them. They arrest them. They put them in prison. They kill them. They take their organs out, and they sell it on the black market or in a Chinese hospital. Where in America, if you need a liver transplant, you may get one, you may not get one, but it's going to take a long time. It could take years. In China, they'll say, well, we'll have one with you for 2 weeks. 2 weeks? So we're talking about a country that has, with a government, not the people. You can't hold the people accountable because they're kind of just stuck. You know, they either don't have the will to fight or live in complacency, but the communist regime will destroy you. If you're in a country like that and you speak out, they destroy people. They just don't destroy you. You, your family, everybody. So this is a country that's dangerous. They have poisoned people around the world. They have killed people around the world. They have destroyed people around the world. They have killed babies. They put poison in baby formula. You are talking about people that do not care about human rights. So if China doesn't care about human rights, if they're the ones destroying, don't even get me started on cats and dogs over there and things like that, but if they're the ones destroying all of these things, why is Hollywood, who is so into human rights, who is so for human rights, who is so against the suffrage of human beings, why is Hollywood supporting China? They're taking the money from China. Why are they doing that? In essence, Hollywood supports everything China does. By them taking money from China, they are supporting everything China does. And they are paying into all that abuse, all that pain, all that murder. They are endorsing it. It's as bad as taking a check from Adolf Hitler. But they're going to point fingers. Donald Trump is Hitler. Really? He's standing with Israel. How Hitler is he? Donald Trump is Hitler. Really? He's standing up to China and their atrocities. How Hitler is he? Donald Trump is Hitler. Really? He's getting together with Russia. He wants to have good relations with them because that would help the world. Oh, you can't trust the Russians. You got to hate them. This is all liberals talking. These are all liberals talking. You know, you got to hate Russia. You got to hate Israel. You got to hate everybody in the whole goddamn world. You got to hate your neighbor. You got to hate that religion. You got to hate that gun owner. You got to hate people for wanting their rights. These are liberals talking. They are haters. And misery loves company. So when you look at Hollywood and you look at all this bombardment, and maybe that's why I'm a bit different, because I'm not down with that. The movies I like watching movies that they don't even use cell phones. Movies that are olden days, in the 80s, you know? Stuff where those things were funny, where people actually had something to say, and nobody was afraid to say anything from the persecution of the people around them. That's what's happened. Our free speech has been eroded. You know, it's been pushed into a hole where people are afraid to say who they voted for. You know, if Hillary Clinton had won, and you went up to a basic conservative and then say, I voted for Hillary Clinton, they'd be like, okay, well, you kind of get it. Hope she does a good job. She's a horrible person, I think, but my candidate didn't get in. You're not going to get a barrage of insults, put down, name calling, all this anger. And to the point where people get physical. They're so angry, they get physical. But people have been incited to do this. You know, the Democratic Party and their whole agenda has made people so angry they're in a frenzy, which has hurt a lot of people around the world. Because it's not just our country, believe it or not. I know people all around the world that got into fights with people over American politics. You are being controlled. You're being controlled. They are taking your senses, and they have put things there and planted things in your mind and made it where you think that somebody is a villain, and they're not. It's interesting. Because this is what the robber barons did years ago. And the robber barons never went away, obviously. I think when they get into these, they get caught finally, and then they get prosecuted, they throw one on the fire. But the rest of those robber barons, they're not doing anything. They're sitting there living their lives. They're in their castle. They're not hearing me talk. They don't care about you. They're up there in their ivory towers, calling the shots. And then you have the underlings. I call them the want-mores. Barack Obama, perfect example of a want-more, of somebody who is a lawyer from Chicago. He was a senator for 6 years. You know, when people question Donald Trump and what qualifies him to be president, well, see, the guy's run a worldwide empire. What did Barack Obama do? He was a senator from Chicago, a six-year senator that never voted yes or no on anything. He just voted present. Where he was a basic kiss ass and never had an original idea and just kowtowed to his wife. And I'll tell you, it was his wife who ran the show for the last 8 years. And the whole administration was brimming of it. You could see her personality and her attitude. You know that she was telling him what to do. You know, when he was running back in the day, before the first time that he won, I remember a conversation that he was having with a reporter. So they're all huddled around this table, this large table, Barack Obama and a whole bunch of other people, Democratic Party, who were with him. And his wife is on the phone because she couldn't be there. So she's, and it's his wife, by the way, whether she had to be there or not, you know, it's interesting that she really inserted herself into every aspect of him running and his life and the whole bit. She's the wife, yeah, but when he won, she was like, oh, I'm just happy to be a mother and a wife. But we know that was a lie because she went on to do a whole bunch of other things. Anyway, it's like classified ketchup as a vegetable, and, you know, tomatoes are fruit to begin with. But getting back to the scene, so imagine they have a huge table. They're all sitting around. Barack Obama is at the head of the table. Early days of the campaign. And he had made a statement where he just quite wasn't, didn't jive well with what his wife said. She's on the phone, on a speakerphone, in the middle of the table. He's in the room probably for 30 people, maybe more, plus the press, right? So after he said this, he kind of had a little laugh. You know, and he acted like a teenager, right? Like, you know, that's what a teenager would say. Like, picture your kid, boy, 13, 14 years old, with a bunch of his friends, and like, you know. So then his wife is like, Barack, think. Use that noggin and think. You know, wow, man. How far? Click. Bye. You know what I mean? One, you don't assault a man for a room full of people. She treated him like he was a little boy. And this is a huge problem with relationships between men and women now, you know, where women treat men like they're little boys. So they just got their tail between their legs. And men aren't men anymore. The women complain that men aren't men anymore, but ladies aren't ladies anymore, are they? So it's become a whole society of where men are on the run and women are chasing them. And then you have mothers telling their sons not to get married or don't do it so easily and make sure you use birth control because there's a lot of women out there trying to have kids. So, you know, and not, they only care about the guy. You know, if you're the guy and you have a kid and they leave you with that kid, you're paying for that kid. Basically, you're paying for them. And there's a lot of that going on. But I want to continue on with this. So the reality behind Barack Obama and him being controlled, we've seen this country run into the ground. He says he doesn't see it. He says he doesn't see the division. You know why? Because he's a true racist. He's a true sexist. The people that can't see it, are they themselves guilty of it? Because you've got to be able to step back and look. Think, Barack. Think. Use that noggin and think, Barack. You look around, and I know he lames up and he's out of there in a few days, but you look around, and you look around what's going on in this world, and the labels, because like I said in the beginning of the show, the Democratic Party is all about labels. They label every group, everybody, and then everybody thinks that they're different from each other. But are we? Are people different from black people, different from Latino, different from Asian, different from anybody, white, you know, male, female, gender, whatever? We all have our different roles, male, female-wise, you know? And then there's this thing out there that, oh, women don't make as much as men and blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's a lie. Because if you look at the statistics, women make more than men now. There are more women in college than men now. There are more female teachers now than men. A lot more, as a matter of fact. But we're seeing our society fall apart. And we need a balance. We need to strike that balance and stop shaming men. And all, you know what? It started happening during the 80s. I saw it happen. Because in the 70s, when you look at television, and the television, the media, is very telling of what's going on. Because it's not called programming for nothing. you know? It programs people on how to think. It attacks your senses. It puts information in your head, puts data in your head, and that data is selected. Now we have the internet. We can click on a lot of crap, but all that stuff is still limited, right? But when the data was so selective, it was so selective, this is where it forms a lot of people. So what happened during the 70s? You know, you look at shows, even shows that were black, Good Times, one of my favorite television shows when I was a kid. You know, I loved everybody there. I loved Selma. I was like all horny for her, you know what I mean? She was beautiful, and I liked the whole scene. I liked the family, the father, the mother. The father was a very strong man. Today he'd be described as violent and angry and abusive, you know. He would be labeled so much, but those kids respected him and sometimes feared him, and they were good kids because he was a father. And the mother also, very strong woman, very powerful. She wasn't weak. She didn't sit there and say, oh, don't hit me. No. It was the mother and the father, and they had a tight family. And they were there for each other. Right? So look through the 70s shows. Look at those shows back then in the day. Look at Hogan's Heroes, a show about Nazi Germany, how a bunch of dudes, a white guy, black guy, French guy, English guy, you know, but everybody. And Kinslow, the black dude, was like the strongest role. And this is from the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. And these were television shows that were very powerful to people because it was real. It wasn't reality TV. It wasn't scripted reality. It wasn't a race to the bottom of the barrel of smut and swill like what we have today, where there is nothing shocking anymore. You can't be shocked. But Hogan's Heroes was about a team of multicultural people working together for the same goals to defeat. Wow. Show me a show in the 80s that had that, or 90s, or anything. Yet. No, you know what happened in the 80s? Men started to fall apart, even with shows like Married with Children, which was a comedy, but where the father was a total zero, and the whole family was basically using him. And you know, his wife didn't care. She wanted some money and whatever. They didn't have anything to begin with. They assaulted him. They didn't care. When people lose respect, what is left? And I think that in the 80s and beyond, you get things like that cartoon Family Guy. Horrible. Horrible. People say, oh, but it's funny. You know what? It's horrible. Because of the message that it gives, because of the point of view that it drives down. Maybe the creator doesn't know that. Maybe he does know it. But it's about disrespect. And monkey see, monkey do. You spread that disrespect. So when people were powerful and strong, you can look at the 70s and all those shows, and then people would label all those men, how horrible they are, you know, forceful they are. But now, it's wrong to be male. It's wrong to have those traits. They preach it in school, in elementary school, where most women are teachers. They preach it. You know, that aggressive behavior, that abusive behavior. Oh, you get angry too fast. It's because you make me mad. Of course. So what happens in the end? The government backs them up. And then here comes the domestic calls of houses. Here comes all these things. When the police show up, they start writing paperwork and then dragging your name through the mud or beating you down. Basically, they put a gun to your head if you're masculine. There's a gun to your head. If you get married and have children, you have to fall right in line with this politically correct stuff that's been shoved down people's throats. They attack masculinity. Look at Europe. Now they have a huge problem with these Muslims in Germany and all these other places. Oh, what are the women saying? Oh, our men are too effeminate. They can't protect us. They're too effeminate. They're trying to make men into women. And this is a huge, huge problem for the world. Because then you have other aspects. You know, in the Muslim world, men are men, and women are still women. But women are abused, for real. Not because, oh, do I look fat in this dress? Yes, you're the fattest thing I've ever seen. Not that type of abuse. I'm talking about, you know, oh, no, 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 and I'm going to chop your head off abuse. I'm going to beat you abuse. You can't go out by yourself without a man with you abuse. So there's a whiff of that coming against a whole bunch of effeminate men. And then all these women who say they're feminists, I know a boatload that tell me they're feminists, and they all rely on a man's money. Every last one of them. And then while we're on the subject of women, you know, and then when, you know what? When a guy talks like this, you label a woman hater. Well, basically, and manginas. But while we're on the subject, you know, like all my life I've heard women say, oh, if we ran things, it would be great. If we ran the country, everything would be so great, so amazing. We would be no war because no mother would ever send their son into war. All this, listening to this all my life, I'm hearing this stuff. Laugh my ass off. And what do we see from the DNC? There were all women in charge, and man, they messed things up. In fact, I don't think the Democrats are going to recover for quite some time. If Trump goes in and does a good job, you're not going to see Democrats in there for a long time. Yeah, and the best female, that was their big deal, we're putting a female up. Isn't that sexist? How about I'm putting the best candidate up, and they happen to be female? Or I'm putting the best candidate up, and they happen to be Jewish, or they happen to be gay, or they happen to be black, or they happen to be Asian, you know? What the hell happened to that? How about not judging people? Well, the DNC does that. The religious do that. It says right in their own damn book not to judge people. But they do. They'll judge you right to your face. Or the little church mouse will judge you behind your back and talk crap. And then they come out like, hey, you know, I love everybody, but they don't. In essence, they're the same people that killed Jesus Christ. You know that? That's irony for us. But it's those mentalities that are dangerous to mankind and the evolvement of mankind. If you want to go forward, you're going to have to get together with everybody else and see eye to eye. Nobody has to love each other all the time. Nobody has to hate each other all the time. But I think that we can all get together and not be driven into hysteria by a bunch of haters. And that's really what's going on. So, I mean, when you look at the media, they sell it to you. CNN doesn't sell hate. We are watching the demise of CNN. We are watching the demise. Mark my words. And now they've been bought up. Do you think that any new company that owns them that's going to want the same reputation that they have? They have a horrible reputation. Look at Don Lemon. He's horrible. He's disrespectful. You know, he's another guy that never got beyond 12 years old. But that's what they've got on the air. You know, Anderson Cooper. I'll tell you about Anderson Cooper. I don't like him. But I think that he's good on air. I don't like the way he does his, you know, his interviews, for the most part. It's not hard-hitting to me. It just comes off as bothersome, you know. So the best interviewers are the ones who kind of just relax. And, you know, you want to get information out of people. Yeah, I do it. I'm a private investigator. I do it my job. You want to get information out of people? If you're angry and you start yelling at them or asking them, like, defensive questions, that make them sweat. They're going to clam up. They're going to clam up. Sometimes they don't even want to clam up. It's just that their brain shuts down. You know, so basically if you get them relaxed, they'll tell you anything you want to know. They'll tell you things you don't want to know. You get them relaxed. But that was Larry King. People said Larry King was the king of soft ice cream questions. I'll tell you about Larry King. He got a lot of stuff out of people and had great conversation. That's what an interview is supposed to be. It's not an interrogation. It's an interview. If you want to interrogate somebody, that's a whole different scene. This is an interview. But even in an interrogation, you still have the good cop, bad cop. You still have one that's going to come in saying, we're going to nail your balls to the floor and let the ants eat him. And then you have the other guy come in, hey, I want to help you. I'll talk to the judge. I'll talk to the DA. I can help you. Just tell me what I need to know. See? It's like that. But in this world, there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration. And then there's CNN. CNN is making their own news stories. It's like, they're not supposed to be the news. They're supposed to report the news, right? But all of a sudden, CNN has become a news story because they're reporting things that aren't true, things that they can't corroborate, stories that they can't vet. You have to know what's going on, and you can't put it out there if it's not true. It becomes slanderous, becomes malice, I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff. To do that, start alleging things against people, or have a news story, you know. The CIA has a report about Donald Trump and the Russians, but we don't know what it is. News at 11. Really? So you're going to come out with a story, but you don't have any facts, so you don't know what it is. And then, what does that do to the person that you're talking about? Yes, Donald Trump. You know, we know that CNN hates him. We know that
my name is Michael Robinson.
And they have a personal vendetta against him. But look at all these people. And you know, people out there, some people might think that I'm sitting here loving Trump. I can't stand him, actually. And I can't even believe that I'm saying President Trump. I can't even believe it. It's like we're in the Matrix. And then somebody, like, put a virus in the program, and all this wonky crap is going on, and I can't believe any of it. But then I say to myself, well, at the end of the day, I do call myself a pirate, which means I can kind of just sail around firing my cannons off, and I'm on my side. I'm not on the Republican side. I'm not on the Democrat side. I'm my side, who just wants to basically be left alone and live my life, do my thing, have some fun before it's all over and done with, right? No, I don't have to work overly hard to support a government that doesn't value me. And that's ridiculous. What's the point of doing that? It's all about quality of life, right? When you think of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that pretty much says it all. And that's what I want, and the government shouldn't get in that way. I'll pay my taxes, but I don't want to go crazy paying taxes because I know what they do with it. They're not helping me. They're not helping you. No, they're helping, they give it to countries that hate us. Barack Obama gave a bunch of our money to Iran. They hate us. Now there's more trouble with Iran. There's going to be more trouble with Iran because they don't want peace. They are a theocracy run by the most extreme level of Islam that there could be, right? They fund terrorism. They kill people for thrills because they don't agree what they think about or what they put out there, right? Their religion. When Barack Obama referenced their call to prayer, and how beautiful it is. He said there was no sweeter sound than the Muslim call to prayer. Does that sound like a dude who's not Muslim?
Yeah.
You know, the guy grew up in a Muslim country, basically. His father was Muslim. His stepfather was Muslim. All the siblings are Muslims. But he's going to be the Christian in the room. Obviously, the guy's got a connection. And who cares? You know what, if he does, whatever, man. Good for him. As-salamu alaykum. I'm good with it, you know? But if you're going to tell me that I'm evil because I'm white or because I practice a certain religion, you know, that's racist. That's bigotry. You know what I mean? That's prejudice. I don't want any part of that. I don't need to have someone trying to do that to me. Who the hell do they think they are? Do you think Barack Obama is better than you? Anybody out there? So then, there's a couple of other Michael Angleys, and they're kind of all on my Facebook page. You know, and we're all kind of interrelated because there's not too many Angleys in the world. So the other Michael Angley, who was a colonel in the Air Force and the chief investigator from the Office of Special Investigations, real deal, man. He made a statement about Obama, you know, about that call to prayer. And he was like, you know, I was stationed in one of those places where they had a call to prayer. He's like, they blasted over a loudspeaker and basically tell people to go pray. You know, and if you don't, they chop your kneecaps off, man. It's not like some sweet, loving, oh, this nice call to prayer. Like you're Pepe Le Pew and you smell some female cat and you're kind of flying through the air. Those cartoons, like, la. It ain't like that. It's, you better go pray and we're going to cut you to pieces. Ugh. Okay. Over a cheesy loudspeaker screeching. That's the sweet call to prayer. So I think that people can romanticize things that are not true. And if I lived in a neighborhood like that and I had to hear that crap every day, I would move or I would petition for it to stop. And I want to see the day that all these mosques here in America start hosting gay weddings, man, because, you know, they are part of the flow, aren't they? If you're gay and it's a mosque, an open religious facility to all people, you should be able to have a gay wedding there. So to all the gay people out there looking to get married, I would definitely have it in the setting of a mosque. Think how cool that is, man. You get some couscous, you get some olives, have like some belly dancing music going on. I love that stuff. I would be that guy if I could. I would have a big tent, you know, a bunch of wives and consorts, belly dance music, eat olives and hummus all day. That's a great life. But it's just not real. It's not the life I'm leading. You know what I mean? I love that kind of music. I can just chill that all damn day long. Some chicks dancing. I clap my hands, you know. But that's not the average everyday life for somebody who is of Islam. And that's not the average everyday life for most people, unless you're wealthy, unless you're that top 1, 2, 3, 4%, or 5%, and you're pissing down on everybody else. You're shaming everybody else into what they want and need in their lives. Oh, yeah, I want job security, so I'm evil. You know, when Obama attacked the so-called factory workers and they lost their jobs and they couldn't support their families anymore and they were the ones who were mad at him, he said, you know, oh, the white guys, you know, were angry that the white men angry that they lost their cushy factory jobs. You know how many times I've heard that dude specifically say white man or white people or white this or white that? That to me is racist, you know. So if you're going to be overly sensitive, we can start examining all kinds of things that people say, because it seems like that's what the left does. They look at the right and they examine all the stuff and they blurt it out, you know, this hostility. They call you names and you're homophobic and you're Islamophobic. You're all these things. Yeah, and you just have to say one sentence, and you're attacked by this barrage of insults without even people understanding what the hell you're talking about. They don't care. They just care that they get to launch these attacks, and they're angered attacks. They're going to call you angry, but they're the ones who are angry. They're the ones who are doing this. I know a lot of conservatives, and they're pretty cool-headed people. You know, I know a lot of liberals, and they're off the wall. I don't know too many hardcore liberals who are not off the wall, but I think most of the people out there are just middle of the road and just trying to live their lives. And, hey, I got to go to work today, make my money, come home, spend time with my family, plan some stuff, do some stuff. That kind of life. Instead of, you know, oh, my God, I got to go out there and protest democracy because my Starbucks is going to cost more money now, or the Chinese aren't going to fund my next movie. What am I going to do? So Hollywood uses people. Hollywood stars use people. They use people. You know? You know what I like, though? I like this dude Comey from the FBI, man. He's being grilled by the angry left, and, you know, especially It's funny seeing Debbie Wasserman Schultz stand up and start saying things. She shouldn't even be in her job. She shouldn't even be allowed to be in politics. This woman conspired against another Democratic candidate. She lied to him. I'm talking about Bernie Sanders, of course. She lied to him. She deceived him. They all did. All women, they all got together and then got Bernie out of there. You know, and then what about election fraud? What about all of that? I think that we could talk about that for quite a while. But Comey is just the king of calm when he's up there, and he has good answers, and these people are like screaming all the stuff at him. And he's kind of just, you know, I have an answer for everything, and then I think that frustrates them more. But let's talk about the DNC. We only got 10 minutes or so left for the show. I want to talk about Seth Rich. I touched on it on the Daily Update during the week. Seth Rich, the DNC staffer, that was found murdered 2 blocks away from his home, right? Police still looking for clues. They're still looking after 6 months. This was 6 months ago, and the police there are still looking for anything that has to do with this so they can try to solve it. And I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that the police there want to solve this. I think that they don't want to solve it specifically. If you were telling me, I'll give you the outline, all right? You know about Seth Rich. You know he was DNC staffer. And then Julian Assange, who is head of WikiLeaks, alleged that roundabout way that this guy was giving emails from the DNC to Julian Assange. So it's a basic assumption of the left saying we're blaming it on the Russians without any evidence. But here we have a guy who is a big Bernie, Seth Rich, a big Bernie supporter. This is the whole thing when it fell apart, when he saw Bernie get screwed and Hillary got the nomination, this all happened around there. And from the emails that were released, this Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to step down as head of the DNC. So all of this was going on at the same time. Seth Rich would have been the guy to launch the investigation into the DNC, into election fraud, because Bernie Sanders was winning states, but Hillary was getting the delegates. And then she had these super delegates that were bought and paid for. There are people, a lot of them were lobbyists, and there are people who were bought and paid for, and they're going to vote for Hillary no matter what. So if Bernie had gotten those super delegates, he would have gotten in. So there's also that. So Seth Rich is in a bar, right, having a couple drinks, something he did every year and there. He leaves the bar at 1 a.m., okay? I want you guys to listen. You'll be the investigator with me. He leaves the bar at 1 a.m. Now, it takes him normally 20 to 25 minutes to walk home from the bar to his residence. 20 to 25 minutes. He leaves the bar at 1 a.m. He calls his father. That was weird. He wasn't known to call his father at 1 o'clock in the morning. His father was in bed. So his father didn't answer the phone, obviously. Then he's on his walk. And then all the way at 4:17 in the morning, when he was a couple of blocks away from his residence, he called his girlfriend and started talking to her. And then the girlfriend said that she heard a couple of voices, of males, that whatever, that came up to start talking, said, oh, it's okay, let me handle this, I'll call you right back. And he did, because he was killed, okay? Number one, he left the bar at 1 o'clock, and then for a 25-minute walk, he got to that location at 4:17. So 3 hours and 7 minutes instead of a 25-minute walk. Something happened within that 3 hours and 17 minutes, obviously. He wasn't killed within that 3 hours and 17 minutes because we know he was killed right after he talked to his girlfriend. The police say they believe it was a botched robbery, okay? But, one, his wallet wasn't taken. It was stuffed full of cash. Daddy had a couple thousand dollars cash, I believe, was in his wallet. His watch, his cell phone, his gold chain, none of that stuff was taken. They shot him in the back at point-blank range, and they said that his hands and feet were bruised. That's very telling. His hands and feet were bruised, okay? Now, I can get into forensics and bruising processes and things like that. If you get killed, and how your blood coagulates and all that, I don't even want to get into that. I just want to focus on that 3-hour and 17-minute walk and what happened between that. So now the police say, well, we found some video, but of him crossing the crosswalk, and they saw the people's legs who were following him, and the police said that's all they got. So you need to tell me that supposedly a 25-minute walk from this bar to this man's residence, there is no other camera on that walk in the world of cameras, ATM, banks, fast food restaurants, and they don't have to be in business because those cameras are always rolling, basically. People's private cameras, personal cameras. You know, it was a dicey neighborhood at one time, and now it's transitioning because the real estate there is so expensive, right? But police are blaming it on thugs. Do you really think that thugs are going to shoot a guy in the back and commit capital murder, not even take his wallet, not get anything for it, except a murder charge if they get caught, and shoot him in the back? And his father said he was the kind of guy that if you robbed him, he would give you everything he had. He wasn't going to fight. He wasn't that kind of guy. So I think on his way home that somebody abducted him in a car, whatever, a van. I think that they beat his hands and feet, because that's a very simple torture to do that would hurt people very badly. There's no other way. There's no real explanation of why his hands and feet were bruised, right? So I think they're pumping in for information that he fed these emails to WikiLeaks. And I think that these were people, and we all know that the Hillary campaign hired people to go hurt people, cause trouble, smash car windows, smash store windows. Those are hitmen. Anybody who would do that would do this. How about this? You think that's going out far, thinking about this? The Hillary campaign offered this man a job 4 days before he was murdered. 4 days. So you mean to tell me that those police, and if I'm a detective, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on that very same night that he left that bar, the very same time in the morning, and I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk from one place to another with his picture and talk to everybody I see, every homeless person, every person on the street, people, street sweepers, whatever, taxi cab drivers. I'm going to look for every camera. The police didn't do any of this. I happen to know this is fact. The police didn't do any of that. They're treating this investigation as a back burner investigation, something that they think is a cold case already that they can't solve. Wow, really? I think that we just talking about some facts have a lot of holes, like a 3-hour, 17-minute hole. But if he was abducted, let's say he was abducted and they sat on him for a while, they pressured him, they hurt him to get the information out of him, right? They let him go. He's walking again. He calls his girlfriend. He wants to discuss things with her. At some point, from letting him go, whoever gave the order to have him killed gave the order, and they did it. And they walked up to him right in his back, and then he saw them coming. They started talking to him, and they shot him in the back, point-blank range. In the back, not him facing you, turning around towards you, walked up to him right in his back and shot him in the back, point-blank range. Does that sound like a robbery to you? Does that sound like robbery gone bad? How many times does that happen? Especially considering Hillary Clinton has a huge body trail, the Clintons, both of them, throughout their political lives. You could say that that's a coincidence or whatever. I don't believe in coincidence. You know what I believe in? I believe that people will kill you if you stand in their way of something that's worth hundreds of billions of dollars to them. I think people have killed people for much, much less. So I think the police need to get either those police down there should have somebody else come in and like a private investigator, somebody who's good, who's going to actually solve the crime instead of sitting around saying, we've tried nothing and nothing has been done. Really? They've done nothing and nothing has been done. And who are they going to blame? They're going to do what? So this man is dead. His family wants to know why he's dead. And there's a lot of stuff that surrounds this, a lot of power. But I want to know what happened and that loss of time. I want to know what happened to this guy, you know? And apparently he was a real patriotic guy. He slept with the American flag over his bed. He was known to dress in red, white, and blue. Big Bernie supporter, was distraught when Bernie was screwed. Bernie didn't lose. He was screwed out of an election. You know, and if the DNC didn't claim that they were a private organization, so they're saying, that's what they said initially. You know what? It doesn't matter that we did this to them. We're a private organization, and then that's just it. We're for the Democrats. So this tells you why parties are bad. This tells you why parties having so much power are bad. And not including all the other people. You know, within I think, a few weeks, about 8 people died. One guy with a barbell across his neck, he was working out. And they found him dead with barbell, a lawyer. They found dead, they're unexplained, who was launching an investigation into voter fraud. Wow. So all of that, and then Donald Trump is president. So that's got to tell you something. That's got to tell you how tired people are of this type of thing. And my heart goes out for Seth Rich, his family, for all the terrible things that they had to go through and are going through, and all the answers that they don't have, because you don't have people motivated to get those answers to them. So, obviously, if we can look at just some of the facts and see all these holes, there's a lot more to this. And it wasn't just some robbery. Just go rob the guy, and the guy's got a ton of money in his wallet, nobody takes anything, they just kill him. How often does that happen? I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it doesn't really happen, because those thieves are doing it for a reason. They want to steal. So they'll kill you, but they'll take your stuff. Anyway, I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live with some food for thought. And you just have to watch yourself in this world. You know, trust is a commodity that's hard to come by. So I will see you guys next week on this here show. And don't forget to catch the daily update Monday through Friday.
Got off the plane and...